Richard Simulus. Do I say Simulus, Richard?
Oh, Samulus. Peter.
Samulus, I beg your pardon. Samulus. Like Romulus, Samulus. Now, you were born in Corn.
That's right.
Raised in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Grape picker.
Yeah.
Talc mining. Was that...
That's a short list. I think I went through about 30 different occupations before I was about 22.
Where were you talc mining?
Up at Mount Fitton in South Australia.
Where's that?
Oh, it's something on the Strzelecki track.
Not with Talc Alf.
No.
At Lyndhurst, no. Car assembly.
Yep.
Waiting on. Mm-hmm. Ditch digging, bar work.
Yes, all of it.
On and on. And then into IT.
Mm-hmm.
And you worked in Europe.
That's right.
You were dealing with oil and gas, automotive, aerospace, mm-hmm. defence, pharmaceutical. Was this in the early days of IT too?
It was, yeah. I actually got into the industry in the late 70s. And, you know, when computers were big things that filled rooms.
Yes.
And I started off as a hardware engineer and then went up the management chain and moved into sales and marketing and had a corporate career for a long time.
Mm. Then you came back and trained as an architect.
That's right.
Why?
Because architecture was the thing that I'd always wanted to do.
Yes.
Right from when I was very young.
Oh, and why didn't you do it in the first place?
I just got sidetracked, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, life gets in the way.
Life happens, yes. Mm-hmm. And then you did your architect. And last time you were in, you had this extraordinary idea about building over streets.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Of increasing density in the city centre.
Well, that's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, yes and no. In Frome Street, funnily enough, which was one of the streets I identified, they've filled it up with bike tracks and all that sort of thing now. So,
and boxes.
Yes.
The, I've often worried about, you know, these apartment buildings, mm-hmm. some of them for students which don't have balconies and all those sort of things.
Mm.
What happens if the students stop coming?
Ah, well, yeah, I don't know about that.
We end up with ghettos.
Well, you do, potentially, or it goes downhill to the point that somebody buys it and then starts knocking two apartments into one, that sort of thing.
And I stayed in a student apartment once in Carlton, and we've all stayed in motel rooms, bigger. I mean, they're tiny. There's a tiny little, it's a little kitchen that's enough, there's enough room for a small fridge, a small couch, and a tiny little table for two.
Yeah.
Then there's a bedroom you can't swing a cat in, and a little bathroom, and that's it.
It's not livable, is it?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, you know, no wonder people are taking to the streets, as those students do, because, like, that's the apartment experience, isn't it,
all over
the world, the passeggiato, getting out of the place and walking around, which is fair. So then you need more public spaces. Mm.
That's right.
Mm. And everything changes. I mean, you can't just go and sit in the backyard. Mm. There ain't none. Why are you a writer now?
Why am I a writer? It's a good question. it just came out of the blue, really. A couple of years ago, I was reading an article about a writer that had written something. And I don't know what it was. I no longer remember. But it just triggered something in me, and I just started writing that day.
That's
what I wanted to be doing. That book, yeah.
Mm. Yep. Which is an artful remedy, and it's a crime caper. And I thought it a little naive when I started. And mind you, I think it's difficult when we read a novel set in our own city. I mean, we're not used to that.
Yeah, well, it's really a story about morality.
It is.
And what I wanted to do was make everything nice and gentle and easy and give a sense for life in Adelaide to start with.
And it's also about greed.
Yeah, it is.
And we have your protagonist is Luke, and he's a surveyor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, is it Faye, his
Faye
girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And he's 50 and she's about the same age, and they have a very happy relationship, mm-hmm. living in two different houses. She has a son. Not many young characters in the book.
No, that's true.
I think because you're middle-aged, you relate to the middle. Almost everyone's middle-aged, nothing wrong with that.
There's Faye's son and his various girlfriends.
And there's also this sort of assistant at the gallery.
That's right.
Then, is she Libby, I think?
That's right, yeah.
Then we meet this extraordinary character called Gustavo Holstrom.
Mm.
And he is a rather charismatic art dealer with a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no one I could identify, you know, nor is he an amalgam. Or is
Well, he's not based on anyone I know.
No, fortunately.
He's a pure invention, so...
Yes.
But certainly he's an amalgam of characters I've met, you know, throughout my life. So.
And he's a very charismatic, colourful character. And he has friends and acquaintances everywhere. And he manages to do very well. And there's a suggestion that he may have been involved in something shonky in another country.
Yes, that's right.
Two of his fellow sort of entrepreneurs come along. And they talk the government of South Australia into investing or giving grants to a solar car company with a lot of R&D going on. And Gus Hallstrom encourages some of his art-loving punters to invest.
That's right.
And it seems like a good opportunity until it's not.
Exactly.
And, yes. And a number of people are burned. Into this we have a red herring character, or is he, of a kind of, well, he's a gay, sadomasochistic Slav with a head too
well, he's
big
Latvian, actually, Roger Belodis.
Latvian, with a head too small for his body.
That's right.
And he... he's part of the government deal. Whether he's to watch this investment, which he doesn't do very well.
Yes, that's right. Well, you said earlier, before I arrived, I heard you on the radio talking about it being a revenge story. And I think that's only partly true. I think in Roger Belodis' case, it's pure revenge. It's just visceral hatred for what's happened to him. In the case of Luke and so on, it's not really revenge so much as restoring the situation.
Yes,
which is where the remedy comes from in the title,
and it's very interesting. How do you know about a surveyor? How do you research that?
In my time as an architect, I dealt with surveyors, so I had some sense of
and art dealers.
Well, I'm quite friendly with some of the art dealers in Adelaide.
Colin Bergen, for
for example,
at Art Images, where the book's being launched
Friday night. Exactly.
And he likes the book likes you. It's a good read. It carries you along, and I found it was very compelling. The last half, I zipped through. It was a page turner. So congratulations for that. I love the epilogue, in which you sort of round everybody off.
Tidy it all up. Yes.
Yeah. I like that because, I think you're that kind of person, aren't you? You want, and we like that. We like to know where everybody's going.
Yes. Takes away any ambiguity, but it's nice sometimes to have a a circular resolution to things that the people that deserve to do well finished up doing well and so on. So.
Well, Oscar Wilde said that the good end happily, the bad unhappily. That is what fiction means, and I suppose he had a point, didn't he? What's a dry bar table?
One of these tall tables that you put tall stools at.
I've never heard that expression. I think some of the best writing, Richard, twice you do this in the book, and it's very interesting. This is Luke. He lives in the city, and his office is on the ground floor, and he lives on the next two floors. And he's looking out to a girl in a blue Ford trying to reverse into a parallel park. And after several attempts, she managed to park the car neatly enough, but stayed in the car, da-da-da. That observational stuff I liked very much. When you see people in the street and you try and imagine, I was with that girl, with those moments that we catch ourselves looking at something or we're aware of something or somebody.
Yes, the fabric of daily life, isn't it?
Here's your architect training talking. Saw's office was, this is the lawyer, was in a nondescript, generic, boxy building that had been put up sometimes in the 70s. Well, a lot of them.
There's quite a few of them, yeah.
The front was painted a deep maroon. It was looking a bit tired and faded where the sun gave its best in summer. He shared it with two other lawyers and a receptionist. The practice never seemed to hold on to its receptionists. And I note, when one of your characters and his mate Baz, who's now, is that another, what Baz is?
It's short for Bazili.
Yes, is it Russian?
No, Polish.
Polish.
His parents were Polish.
That's right.
Well, in fact, he was as well. He was born there.
They go on the linear path, the parkway, all the way to the beach. And there were plenty of other bike riders about as it was the weekend, along with quite a a lot of pedestrians, some pushing prams. The odd tinkle of the bike bell was needed to warn them of their approach. I'm glad they had bike bells. A lot of fancy-pantsy riders like John Thompson Mills out here, we've just talked him into getting a bike bell, so he's not breaking the law. But that, a lot of them don't have it. Do you ride a bike?
I do, yeah. I actually have a bell as well.
Do you have a bell?
Yeah.
And you a mammal?
No, I don't do the lycra thing at all.
No, I think that's a relief. Yeah. So what next? What next will you be writing?
I'm 2/3 of the way, I think, through my next novel, which is more of an international spy story, but it's a faster-paced story that's... people do get hurt in this one. So.
Do you plot it first?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the big part of it. Is the deciding on the basic idea, if you like, and then working out a general story around that, and populating it with characters, working out what sort of characters you need, and inventing everything about them, and then creating the plot line in detail. And then once you've done all of that, then you can start writing.
So you're filling it in.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So the writing is more like documenting a story that already exists.
And do you write on a keyboard?
I do. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And you enjoy the writing?
Oh, I love it. I just love every part of it. I love the plotting. I love the making up the characters. I love writing. It just takes over and it just comes out. If you've done your preparation properly, then it just flows. But then occasionally the characters take over.
Yes.
And you've got to then change the plot a bit, or you realise that it's just not realistic that this person would do that thing at that time and so on.
I congratulate you because... I couldn't find and I'm a bit pedantic about this. I couldn't find a single error of grammar or geography or name or anything.
Well, you know what? I think my mum's listening, and she read the first draft and pointed out a lot of the
Well, she did you a favour.
So she did a great job.
Yeah. You know, even in this book, I'm reading this book by A.A. Gill, who's one of the most experienced journalists and writers in England. And there's a howler in it. An absolute... Here it is. Charles Lawton in Hobson's Choice gets a giant rat at the end of his bed, and then there's Harvey, the urban rabbit, in Cary Grant's Hallucination. Wrong! It was James Stewart. Not Cary. Now, what? No, but why didn't someone pick that up?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a major publisher.
Yeah.
Weidenfeld and Nicholson. Mm. And here you are, and there's not a single error, and it's a good read, and I congratulate and thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Good luck for the launch, which is at Art Images, the popular gallery on the parade at Norwood this coming Friday night.
Yeah.
Good.
Six o'clock.
You'll be signing copies and doing well.
Thank you, Peter.
Richard Samoulis, thank you very much. An Artful Remedy.
Thank you, Peter.